In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is so great to be here with you again today. What an awesome start to the week. And I'm still here in Valparaiso, Indiana, the last day of the parish mission at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. I have been having a wonderful time here. This whole parish is focused on missionary discipleship. And so my talks and the focus of the mission has been on that theme, effective evangelization by becoming missionary disciples. And so I preached at all the masses on the weekend and then gave a talk Sunday night, Why Be Catholic? And then gave two talks yesterday, 9 in the morning, and then repeated the same talk at 7 in the evening about the Eucharist and evangelization, how the Eucharist is the foundation, is the focal point of missionary discipleship. It's really the springboard that leads us to be effective evangelists. And then today, I gave the talk at 9 o'clock this morning, and then repeating this same talk tonight at 7 p.m., again, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Valparaiso, Indiana. Go and make disciples. How do we effectively share the faith? So if someone's being hostile to you, how do you respond? Family members, especially children who are away from the church, how do you deal with that? You know, when someone comes up to you and says, you believe that a piece of bread is God, you know, so we're going to talk about real world, hands-on, practical things that you can do to become an effective evangelizer and a missionary disciple. So would love for you to join us on this last night of the mission. Again, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton here in Valparaiso, Indiana. I just want to thank Father Mick, who's the pastor here. He's been absolutely wonderful. You know, I've been staying in the rectory with him. We've been going out to dinner after the mission and just talking and just getting to know each other. Just a wonderful priest, wonderful father to this family here at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. So please come and join us. Abel would love to meet members of the EWTN family. And I'm very, very excited today because we have a very special guest. The one and only Dr. Scott Hahn will be with us. He, of course, is one of the founders of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and a longtime professor at Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we're going to be talking about the Gospel of Matthew and a new study program that's coming out from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology about St. Matthew. As you know, we're in year C right now, so the focus is on Luke. But then with the start of Advent, this fall, we're going to be going back to year A, which is the gospel is going to be focused on Matthew. And so in preparation for that, we're having Dr. Hahn on to talk about, again, the Gospel of Matthew and the great new study program from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Would love for you to join us today, but the phones are still out. So the best way to reach us is to text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response and text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. So you have a question about Matthew's gospel. Dr. Scott Hahn is here to answer your questions. Again, send us a text, EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. Text us your first name and your brief question. Or if you are on social media, if you're on Facebook or watching on YouTube, put your comment or question in the chat and we'll make sure that we get that on the air for you. All right. And hopefully we'll have the phones back up soon. This is an absolutely gorgeous day here in northwestern Indiana. You know, I don't remember too many days like this at Notre Dame. I remember the cold. I remember the lake effect snow. The first time I ever experienced that lake effect snow, and all of that. But it's absolutely gorgeous day. Like very, very low humidity. Beautiful day. I went for my walk just under 8 miles today. I did 7.4 yesterday. I think I did 7.8 or 7.9 miles today. walking. Absolutely gorgeous day. The Spotify playlist just nailed it. So after I did my typical, you know, prayed the rosary today. Of course, today's Tuesday, so Sorrowful Mysteries today. And then I, you know, I did my Latin stuff and conjugating some Hebrew and my typical thing that I do. And then when I finished all that, I put on my Spotify playlist, and it was just, every song was just awesome. I was feeling really good walking today. So what else I feel really, really good about is the absolutely amazing crew that brings you this show each and every day. Who am I talking about? Vanessa Sanchez, who's, well, if the phones are working, she'd screen your calls. I think she's going to be bored today. And Michael McCall or Pedro Quiles doing social media. But we have with us our producer, the man himself in person, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I was thinking about you yesterday. We're in the studio this week working on some tracks and wrote two killer blues riffs that just the solos shred. I got to send it to you. But it was like right in the pocket, like, oh, like you feel like, you know, when you hear a lyric or you hear a riff and you're like, that's my emotion right there. Like, that's my heart. That's what I'm feeling right now.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So is this part of your obligation under the record deal that you have? Like, these are songs you're providing for the label?
Yeah, so we're in the process of working on three projects. One is a country album, one is a blues, one is a worship. And then we're also producing for a new artist that we haven't unveiled yet, but will do this weekend. And that's going to kind of be the next plateau to carry us through the rest of the year to be working on those songs.
Oh, man, that is awesome.
So
that
super
is
excited.
Awesome. And these will be available for anybody to be able to purchase. Is it like streaming or are they going to be available?
Yep. It'll be on all platforms. Yeah. Yeah. And it's been really cool because I'm at that place as a songwriter where I love collaborating with people that are outside my comfort zone. Like a blues or a worship song is kind of an easy go-to for me just because I've done it so long. But like if it's a pop or if it's on a rock side or, you know, even on some country levels, if it's like really twangy, like, all right, let's go. Like I'm down for the count, right? It's just like just to try something different to stretch me. I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you need me to contribute to this plateau? And it's been fun. It's been an educational process, but it's grown me in so many levels.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful lesson for all of us to learn as well. You know, sometimes in our faith, you know, things are going great, and then what happens? We hit a plateau.
Yep.
You know, we get into the regular routine, we're doing our prayer thing, and everything seems to be going fine, but we just kind of stagnate a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need to be, you know, taken out of our comfort zone in order to take us to another level of our faith.
Yeah.
You know, so you talked about being stretched and being pushed musically, and I think sometimes the Lord allows that to happen to us, just like a rubber band. The rubber band is really only useful when it's stretched.
Sure.
Right? That's when it becomes useful. And I think we look at our spiritual lives in the same way. I think when we're stretched, when we're pushed a little bit, when we're nudged out of the routine and the comfort zone that we've been in, I think the Lord allows us to our hearts to expand and to grow and to receive more of the love and moves us into deeper intimacy with Him.
Yeah.
You know, and so we should welcome those opportunities when that happens.
Yeah, for sure. Because I was talking with a friend yesterday. Actually, we had coffee last night and talking about music and songwriting. And a lot of times songs that you write for yourself don't always get heard by other people because it's just you needing to process that. And he's like, man, I've got piles and piles of songs that no one will ever hear. He's like, it's so transparent that I can't imagine just, you know, releasing that to the masses. And I go, but the cool part is you healed and saw a part of yourself through that. So then whatever the next song is that you do release to the masses, it's you on a healed section of your life before you move on to whatever the next adventure is. And he's like, it's true. So, you know, so think about that. For every song you listen to, that artist has a million songs behind it that are just in the vault. Like no one's ever going to hear them.
Yeah, you know, and our life is like that too. So, I mean, there's things that happen in our life that are, you know, I don't think we have an obligation, responsibility to share every little thing that's going on in our life. Sometimes God gives us moments that are just for us.
Yep.
You know, just for me personally. Yeah. And I feel that sometimes when I pray the Psalms, I'm praying the Psalms and all of a sudden, bam, this line will hit me. I'm just like, whoa, yep. for whatever is going on in my life, for this particular time, in this particular moment, this Psalm is hitting me. This and I just got to rest in the word.
Amen.
I just stop and I'm just like, okay, Lord, just keep speaking to me right now. Keep speaking to my heart right now.
Yeah.
And that's for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so true.
So love those moments.
Amen.
All right. We have Dr. Scott Hahn today, very special guest on Beacon of Truth, talking about the Gospel of Matthew and a great new study program for the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Would love for you to join us today. Phones are still down, but send us a text message. Text EWTN to 58177. Wait for response. Text us your first name and your brief question or comment for Dr. Hahn today. The wow in there.
Yeah. The simplest, like that keyboard is so high up, like it's almost like a lullaby.
Yeah. And I love the texture, right? So you have the bass, the low part just grooving, you know, the wah coming in there, and you got the higher end keyboard playing the upper register.
Yep.
You know, it just adds a nice feel to the whole song.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's well balanced.
Yep.
You know, love that. And it's just so simple.
Right.
Hardly any key change, just grooving.
Well, and that's why I was noticing that too, like listening to music on the road this weekend, like songs by like Janet Jackson, it's two notes. It's just two chord progressions back and forth. So it's the same like this, where we complicate music sometimes when it really should be simple, singable. Keep it, just keep it in that, the tone of whatever it is that you're trying to do. Just doesn't have to be over the top, but it can still be layered like this, so it sounds fuller, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, and that's like life too. You know, that's the one thing I miss about monastic life is the simplicity.
Yeah.
You know, just the simple. You don't have to worry about what to wear. You get to put a habit on, and and your day is kind of structured, and there's a comfort in that.
Yep.
You know, a comfort in the beauty in the simplicity of life.
Yeah.
And you're right. Sometimes, just like music, we overcomplicate life. You know, sometimes you just peel back and just take a deep breath and say, let's focus on what really matters.
Amen.
You know, love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest, Dr. Scott Hahn. We're going to talk about the Gospel of Matthew and a new course by the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Would love for you to join us today. Unfortunately, the phones are still down, so send us a text message today. You can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for response to text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Or if you're on social media, Facebook, if you're following on Facebook or on YouTube, put your question or comment for Dr. Hahn in the chat, and we'll make sure that we get that question or your comment to him today.
All right. Of course, if you're looking for some great poems to help deepen your faith, check out St. Thomas and the Forbidden Birds. It's by James Matthew Wilson, available in the religious catalog right now. All kinds of great stories, but also setting the season. And that season of hope is always easy to find when you are available at the religious catalog. Go to EWTNRC.com.
My friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is where you take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises, the kind of Hebrew hymnal that we also use in our liturgical worship in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We hear the Psalms in each and every liturgy, and we apply this Psalm to your everyday lived experience. And today we're finishing our look at Psalm 10. So Psalm 10 is in Book 1 of the Psalms, Psalms 1 to 41, all of those Psalms attributed to David. This particular Psalm has no prescript or superscript, So there's nothing about, you know, Lemon Zeach, Mizmor HaDavid, you know, for the choir master, Psalm of David. There's nothing for this psalm. All right. So this particular psalm started off, David, you know, is, you know, Lord, why do you stand afar off and hide yourself in times of distress? Right. And we feel like that sometimes, don't we? Where we're going through something, we feel that God isn't there. So that's how he starts off. But we're going to look at the last two verses of Psalm 10, verses 17 and 18. Right, where David, in a sense, starts off kind of, Lord, where are you right now? You know, but he, by the end of the psalm, he has confidence that God is going to come with his love and with his mercy and with his truth. He says, "Oh Lord, you have heard the desire of the poor." Right, so not just the materially poor, but those who are poor in spirit, those who are living humbly before God. Right, again, humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less, right? So those who bring themselves in humility before the Lord, those are the spiritually poor. You strengthen their hearts, right? So heart is leb in Hebrew. So the leb doesn't just mean an organ that pumps blood through the body. The heart is the seat of the will. The heart is the place where your desire for God lives inside of you. So David is confident that the Lord will hear the poor, and in hearing them, he will strengthen their heart, strengthen their resolve, strengthen their desire to choose him to be in an intimate, loving, life-giving communion relationship with God. You turn your ear to give right judgment for the orphan and oppressed. And again, love this anthropomorphical image that David uses for God. Like, you know, you hear, like if God has ears, right? But I love that because, you know, we have to think of God as a father, right? And we want our father to hear us. We want our father to listen to us. We want our father to care about us. So David sometimes uses these images because obviously God doesn't have ears, but the idea is that God is our heavenly loving father who listens to us, who cares for his children, you know? And so just like a father listens to the cries of his children, the Lord is listening to us. He turns his ear to give right judgment for the orphan and the oppressed. So why? So that no one on earth may strike terror again, right? We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear even the trials and tribulations of life because we should have confidence that God is with us. Even if we don't feel that God is not there, there is never a time in our lives that God is not with us. And so this psalm helps us to take confidence in the fact that God is a loving father who listens to us, who turns his ear and his heart to us so that our heart can be united with his most beautiful and sacred heart. Okay. And with that short reflection, I'd love to introduce to you our special, very special guest today who, like, literally needs no introduction. I mean, this is the one and only Dr. Scott Hamm, who obviously an exceptionally popular speaker and teacher, many series on EWTN. He gives talks and lectures nationally, internationally, all over the world. He is one of the founders of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, longtime professor at Franciscan University of Steubenville. And today, Dr. Hamm, author of numerous books, too many to even name here, except some of my favorites, of course, Rome Sweet Home, The Lamb's Supper, Reasons to Believe, The Fourth Cup, you know, The Creed, I mean, on and on and on. It's absolutely phenomenal. And today, Dr. Hahn is here to talk to us about the Gospel of Matthew and an awesome new study program that's coming out by the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. So without any further delay, the one and only Dr. Scott Hahn. Dr. Hahn, what an awesome privilege and blessing it is for you to be with us today on Beacon of Truth.
It's great to be with you, Deacon Harold. Thanks for the invitation.
Ah, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. So before we dive in to talk about Matthew, just tell us what's been going on at the St. Paul Center.
Well, the last week or so, the St. Paul Center, right across the street from Franciscan University of Steubenville, where I've taught for 35 years, we're co-sponsoring this summer conference. Well, it's actually a doubleheader. We had over 1,000 attendees for Applied Biblical Studies, focusing on the Gospel of John, And then from generation to generation, that was the theme for Defending the Faith. We've been doing these conferences now for 35 years. That's over half my life. So hosting that many people, it's so exhilarating. It's also draining for Kimberly and for me, but it really is for us the highlight of the summer. We also had a board meeting for the St. Paul Center. We also hosted two receptions down here at our headquarters after the main sessions in the evening time. And so we have had a wondrous time. It really is a sort of Mount Tabor transfiguration experience for my whole team. And we've got over 40 full-time co-workers. We've got probably 15 or 20 interns and part-time staff. And it is just humming along right now. Reading scripture from the heart of the church is our mission. Beginner, intermediate, advanced. We've also just finished hosting our third priest conference for 2025 with over 230 priests in a sort of, you know, you can baptize by sprinkling or you could do total immersion. These priests got total immersion, being baptized into biblical theology, showing how the church arranges the lectionary readings, and then also showing how to discern the pattern and proclaim the fulfillment of the promises in the old that Christ has brought now to us in the Gospels. And so it's sort of, are we allowed to have this much fun on this side of heaven? I think the Lord's answer is yes, definitely, especially if you're going to be missionary disciples taking the gospel to every living creature.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I've talked to a number of priests who've attended the priest conferences there sponsored by the St. Paul Center. And I tell you, every single priest that I've spoken to has just been elevated and lifted, and they felt that their ministry was taken to another level. Because, I mean, they go to seminary, and they learn some about theology and stuff like that. Then they get into a parish, and they get into all the different things, and they don't really have time to really study theology as they're preparing homilies or doing teachings. They just rely from stuff that they learn from seminary. But where's, like, the fire, the flame? And what the St. Paul Center does so beautifully for the heart of our priests, the fathers of our parish families, you flame, you know, you wave the fan of the Holy Spirit and inflame their hearts with the love of God's word so that their preaching is better, their teaching is better, their personal, spiritualized, when they dive into the scriptures, into the liturgy of the hours, you know, the scriptures and the Psalms and all of that just comes alive in a way that's so powerful and real. And so you're feeding, you know, the priests feed us. They give us the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus. But the St. Paul Center is also feeding our priests, you know, yes. So it's a beautiful relationship.
You know, one of the things we emphasize is taking what you've learned in seminary through academic, historical, critical lessons, recognizing the value of that, but not less, but even greater value in reading scripture from the heart of the church, reading it in terms of the relationship between the old and the new, and not only the document of scripture, but also the blessed sacrament. You know, so I basically encourage these priests never to say from the pulpit, I'm no scripture scholar, and so therefore I'm not qualified. No, you're an ordained priest. You have charisms, you have graces that scripture scholars lack. And so I value historical critical methods. They have limits. They also have insights, just like I value X-ray technology. But if you come to visit my home, I'm not going to open the family album and show you X-rays of my wife and kids and grandkids. It's valuable, but it is so limited. And so to enter into the literary, the historical, the theological, and the spiritual senses of scripture, these priests say, this is what we expected to get at seminary, but instead, lots of X-rays. And so it really liberates them to recognize it's one thing to read the Bible in the academy, where it's a specimen. You know, it's something to be dissected and analyzed. Whereas to read the Bible within the Eucharistic liturgy, that's a home game. That's its natural habitat. That's its sacramental context. And to empower those priests, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yes, amen. My special guest today on Beacon of Truth is Dr. Scott Hombre, talking about the Gospel of Matthew and a new study coming out by the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Would love for you to join us today. Send us a text message. Text EWTN to 58177. Wait response to text us your first name and your question.
LLS.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a resurgence in trending for bass players right now is the two-string bass. So it's just an E and an A, but it, all you can, like, you can't put more strings on it. Like, it's as wide as a four-string, but it only has room and only has the frets or the tuning for two strings. It's the weirdest looking bass, but I'm curious to try it to, as a bass player, to just
is it
think.
A standard length for a bass, or is it longer, or
standard? Yep.
Standard length. Wow, interesting.
So, if I ever get my hands on one, I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to Google that. That's odd.
I had never seen it, but apparently, like in punk bands, it's common for a bass player to take two strings off and just play the low end. But so they designed one, and now it's starting to make a comeback.
Wow. I've seen that 8-string guitar.
Yes.
You know, which is like trying to play a surfboard. Try to get your hands around that thing. That thing's nuts.
No doubt. I cannot imagine.
Yeah. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have Dr. Scott Hahn on, one of the founders of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and longtime professor at Franciscan University of Steubenville. He's here today to talk about the Gospel of Matthew and a great new study program coming out from the St. Paul Center of Biblical Theology. Again, would love for you to join us. If you have a question for Dr. Hahn, if you're on social media, on Facebook or YouTube, put your question or comment in the chat, and we'll make sure that we get that question to Dr. Hahn. Or, since the phones are still down, you can send us a text message. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response to text us your first name and your brief question or comment for Dr. Hahn. And that's the way you'll be able to speak with him today.
All right. We want to say congratulations to another one of our radio partners, EWTN, celebrating 20 years with St. Gabriel Radio, three stations serving in Columbus, Portsmouth, and Athens, Ohio. Bill and his team there doing an amazing job. So thank you for your support over the last 20 years of helping to support EWTN Radio.
All right. And just one quick last plug. Again, I am at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Valparaiso, Indiana, last night of the parish mission. We're talking about missionary discipleship, and tonight's talk is Go and Make Disciples. How do we effectively share our faith with others? 7 p.m. tonight, again, if you're in the area, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Valparaiso, Indiana. All right. So Dr. Scott Hahn is here to talk to us about the Gospel of Matthew. So let us know about, so we know that there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so tell us about some of the characteristics of Matthew's Gospel particularly that kind of makes it stand out from the other Gospels.
Well, we call it the first Gospel. And in the early church, they believed that it was the first Gospel to be written. As St. Jerome echoes the tradition that he originally wrote it in Hebrew or possibly Aramaic, and then it was later translated into Greek. It is certainly the most influential of the four Gospels. There are four Gospels, obviously, but there's one Jesus, and he's proclaimed in a variety of ways, but it's a diversity that doesn't undermine the truth. It really is a diversity that enriches the unified vision that the church has, that each and every one of us as believers have, you know. And so when you approach Matthew's Gospel and you listen carefully, what are the distinctive sounds that you're going to hear from Matthew? You know, just as you were talking about the bass guitar, I was reminded of first playing a precision bass and a Hofner bass back in high school, and then getting my Stratocaster, moving on to the guitar. And I was really into the Beatles, you know, and Beatles songs were just so popular back in the late 60s. And Lennon and McCartney, obviously, they wrote them all. But then you begin to distinguish between, okay, those are Lennon songs, I Am the Walrus, those are McCartney songs, Yesterday, Let It Be, and so on. People are hesitant at first to, okay, what do you mean, Matthew? Isn't the same as Mark, Luke, and John? No, there's a diversity that deepens the unity of our experience of Jesus Christ. And so what is unique to Matthew? I would suggest that Matthew is the McCartney of the four evangelists, because some of the most memorable and beautiful things, like the Beatitudes, only in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, only in Matthew, the fulfillment of the virgin shall conceive, Isaiah 7, that is only in Matthew. You also have the seven kingdom parables only in Matthew. Matthew has structured his gospel as a literary artist. Even agnostics who don't believe study Matthew and say, man, this is a piece of literary art. And why? Because it is evenly divided into five different sermons. The first of the five sermons is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. That was the title that Augustine came up. It's not found in Mark, Luke, or John, though fragments of it can be found there. The last of the five sermons is what we call the Sermon on the Mount of Olives, the Olivet Discourse that Jesus proclaims. This one is three chapters, the first of the five. The fifth one is three chapters long, Matthew 23 through 25. And then the three middle sermons are each one chapter. That is the mission sermon in Matthew 10. The kingdom parables in Matthew 13, where you have seven kingdom parables. And then the church discourse in Matthew 18. So you get a sense of symmetry and balance. You sense artistry. The Holy Spirit inspires the whole gospel, but Matthew clearly put a lot of effort and time into this. I'm reminded of The Chosen. Kimberly and I just binged on season 5, and over 660 million viewers have watched The Chosen worldwide. And I particularly enjoy the characterization of Matthew. He might be on the spectrum, but he's obviously called and privileged as a former tax collector with scribal skills to be the one to kind of keep the records of what Jesus is saying and doing. And if that is the case, and I think good scholars think it is, you have good reason to see why in the first 7 centuries of the church, more commentaries, more homilies were preached on Matthew than really the other three combined. I'm grateful that since 1970, the lectionary has divided them up into 3 years. So we're in year C, as you mentioned, and that is the Gospel of Luke. But in a short while, we return to the Gospel of Matthew. And so here at the St. Paul Center, we want people to share the excitement of rediscovering the Gospels as though you're reading them for the first time. And so I do 6 lessons on the Gospel of Matthew, 5 sermons, but one kingdom, one gospel. And I go through all of these distinctive features. Then we have Dr. Shane Owens, who is a master pedagogue. He is the most popular and effective teacher, I suspect many undergraduates would say, at our universities, working closely with us at the St. Paul Center. He does Mark and makes it come alive. Then we have Jeff Morrow. Dr. Morrow is a convert from Judaism. He does the Gospel of Luke. It's a masterpiece. And then Dr. John Bergsma. He does the 4th Gospel, the Gospel of John. And the feedback that we're getting, again, from people just starting out, as well as those who are called upon to teach the Gospels, like, we are getting so much fuel that will add to the fire, so much food for our soul. It really is designed for both the head and the heart. And so you can go to the St. Paul Center, you can sign up for a 30-day free trial, and you can access all of these and finish up your summer in a really life-giving way. Or you can also sign up for an annual membership, and that way you'll get a free copy of the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, which we are so excited. In like 6 months, it sold 125,000 copies, far more than any of us, Ignatius Press, expected to. And it really is something of a legacy of our living faith, rooting Catholics in the scriptures, the old and the new, but making the literary, the historical, the spiritual connections, as well as doctrine and apologetics. So I would also add that all 4 Gospels are being taught by we 4 theologians on the basis of so much of the material that you will find in the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible. I was just using it this morning. Kimberly uses it every day. We've been told by so many people that a daily reading from the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, focusing on the inspired text of the Word of God, but then looking at the footnotes, it just makes connections. It makes it all come alive. But getting back to the Gospel of Matthew, it's clearly the most Jewish of the Gospels. It uses the Old Testament over 100 times. And then it also focuses on the notion of the kingdom. And you see this convergence that the Davidic kingdom that was established by a divine covenant with David, but really with the son of David, the house of David, built into the temple of Jerusalem, this becomes a prototype for what Christ comes proclaiming, the gospel of the kingdom, He establishes the church to bring about the fulfillment of the kingdom. And even non-Catholic, even Protestant scholars will call Matthew the gospel of the church, because the technical Greek term for church, ekklesia, it's only found in Matthew chapters 16 and 18. Likewise, Matthew's distinctive emphasis on Peter, especially his positive faith. Only in Matthew does he walk on the water. Likewise, in Matthew's gospel, only in Matthew's gospel, he confesses Christ to be the Son of the living God. And then here's Jesus say, "You are Peter. You are rock, and on this rock, I will build my church," and he gives to him the keys of the kingdom, which again goes back to the Old Testament, to the Davidic covenant, to the kingdom with David, and how David established the government of the kingdom in terms of the 12 tribes, 12 royal officials in 1 Kings 4, but only one of the royal officials was the prime minister, because he was the one to whom the Davidic king entrusted the keys of the kingdom. So if Matthew is writing for Jewish Christians who know the Hebrew Bible like the back of their hands, the law and the prophets, they're going to readily detect the fact that Jesus is choosing 12, and on them he's going to give them the basis for the church. But only one of them gets the keys of the kingdom, and that signals the primacy of Peter. But you go back to Isaiah 22, where Jesus is drawing from, and you see Shebna is stepping out of the office of prime minister. Eliakim is stepping in. And so it's not only the primacy of the prime minister, it's also succession of office. And so Catholics find a basis for doing more than just arguing for the primacy of Peter, also Petrine succession in the 200 plus popes that we've had since the first century. It's also a cause of great gratitude to God. And what Peter also discovers and what Matthew emphasizes is it's a kingdom of heaven. So what you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. But the earthly tail doesn't wag the heavenly dog, because the kingdom of heaven is established on earth by Christ through the power of the Spirit, through the apostles and their successors. But you can really sense that the Catholic Church, which is the kingdom of God, is not reducible to its human institutions on earth, because ultimately the king is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the body. And so the Pope, as the successor to Peter, has this absolutely fundamental role to play on earth, but ultimately he's the head of the church militant. Whereas Christ is the head of the church, triumphant in glory, militant as well, and the church suffering, those that we might say are in purgatory. Three states, one church. And so Matthew rightly is described as the gospel of the church. And I took a graduate seminar when I was a PhD student as a Presbyterian pastor. It was ultimately a paper that I wrote over 30 pages long on Peter and the keys in Matthew 16. That made it obvious to me that the Catholic Church is where every intellectually honest Bible Christian is going to end up if he lets himself be moved by the Holy Spirit. I presented this paper. A famous Lutheran professor didn't like the conclusion, but he gave me the highest A, because he could see the basis for Petrine primacy and succession there in Matthew 16 and Isaiah 22. But it was the funniest thing, because I thought I was so highly original in coming up with this argument, which I hadn't found in any commentary. Later, I joined the church, and later on that first year as a Catholic, in year A, the Matthew cycle, on the 21st Sunday of Ordinary Time, I hear the first reading taken from what? That obscure oracle tucked away in Isaiah 22, verse 10 and following. And then a psalm that celebrates the governmental structure of the Davidic kingdom and the thrones. And then we stand for the gospel. And sure enough, it's Matthew 16, 13 through 20. And it was humbling at one level to discover how highly unoriginal I really was. But it was also downright exciting. And what a relief to realize it isn't up to you or me to come up with this stuff, because Mother Church is serving up the bread of life in such a way that all of her children, whether they ever graduate from high school or college, whether they get a PhD, every single beloved son or daughter discovers in the Gospels, all four of them, but especially in Matthew's gospel, this idea that heaven and earth are united in one kingdom, in one church, by Christ the King. This is God the Father's family. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's what we call home, and there is no place like home. And it's not just the same thing as what we find in Rome or the Vatican. That is where heaven meets earth. And thank God for Pope Leo and all of his predecessors. And they truly do function by the power of the Spirit to bind and loose on earth the things that have already been bound and loosed in heaven. You know, Deacon Harold, you and I have discussed this kind of stuff. You know, to be able to present this to a lay audience, although clergy are also often signing up for these courses. But I mean, it's exciting. And to discover, too, we just sponsored here at the St. Paul Center a couple of months ago a clergy convert retreat. And we had a number of clergy, Presbyterian, non-denominational, who came who had not yet pulled the trigger. And yet, after this weekend retreat, focusing upon the gospel and the pattern of the old and the new, the promise and the fulfillment, finding it not only in Jesus, but also in Peter, through the sacraments, the Blessed Virgin Mary is who? The Queen Mother of the Son of David. Go back to the old and you'll find that, just as you'll find it in the opening chapters of Matthew's gospel as well. Layer after layer, you can go deeper with your head, you can go deeper in prayer, spiritually, with your heart, but ultimately it is not primarily designed to make us scholars, it's designed to make us saints.
Oh, amen. Oh, how beautiful. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth, and today our very special guest is Dr. Scott Hahn, one of the founders of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and longtime professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. And today we're talking about the Gospel of Matthew and a great new study program produced by the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Would love for you to be part of the program today. The phones are still down, so if you're on Facebook or YouTube, put your question or comment about Matthew's gospel so we can get that to Dr. Hahn. Or you can always text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response to text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. So, Dr. Hahn, I remember one time I was speaking at a conference in Texas, and a young man, I remember I was giving kind of the closing talk, kind of the sending forth talk, and this young man walks in, and I noticed him in the background, he's wearing a UPS uniform. And I thought, okay, well, as I'm speaking, he must be looking to make a delivery, he must be lost. And I saw him standing there listening. And so after I finished, I walked to the back, and he pulled me over to the side, he goes, "Hey, I'm here because I was looking for my girlfriend who's Catholic." I said, "Oh, well, I'm glad you came." He goes, "Well, I'm not Catholic. I'm not baptized or anything, but I've never heard anybody talk about Jesus. Introduce me to Jesus." Just like that. And I'm like, "Oh man, wow. The pressure." Introduce me to Jesus. And so what I did, I sat down with him. I pulled my Bible out of my bag and I said, "Start here with Matthew's gospel." Some people say, shouldn't I start at the beginning, Genesis? No. The first thing you need to do is get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus first. Learn about our Lord. Learn about his love. Learn about intimate, personal, loving life can be communion with the living God. Start there. And there were, so I actually end up giving him the Bible that I had in my bag. And his girlfriend came over and she was like, you know, catechism. And like, no. He needs to know who Jesus is first before you dive into dogma and doctrine and all that stuff. Yeah, start here with the Gospels and start with Matthew. So I love what you said about the Gospels and how they really is really the springboard for getting to know who Jesus is. Now, one of the things that so for somebody that might be an obstacle is the way Matthew starts with that genealogy. And I was just like, wait a minute, just start with the infancy narratives. But no, he starts with the genealogy. So tell us about that a little bit. Why do you think Matthew starts off with that long genealogy?
Well, again, step back one step, and you'll see Matthew is an eyewitness. He's one of the 12. Not only in our tradition, there are good historical arguments to show us that. And so being a Jewish Christian, being one of the 12, being an eyewitness, he is really plugged into what the gospel of the kingdom is all about. Because there's only one kingdom in human history that was established by God through a covenant. That's the Davidic covenant. There are many covenants in the old with Noah and Abraham and Moses, but only one of them produced a kingdom. And so this is a dynasty. It's the genealogy. I mean, in Luke 3, you've got 77 generations. In Matthew 1, you've got three sets of 14 generations. No wonder, because David's name in Hebrew consists of three letters that add up to the number 14. And so if you read this through first century eyes, even as a beginner, you begin to get a sense that, wow, the Davidic kingdom covenant was the threshold. It really was the final form of God's people in the end of the Old Testament, before the exile. The Old Testament ends, you know, it's like a story in search of an ending because the people are in exile. The New Testament read apart from the Old is unintelligible. And so you've got to read Matthew 1, plug into, and then you realize, okay, there's a Davidic genealogy in chapter 1, a Davidic birthplace, Bethlehem. That's where David was born in chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, you have the son of David identified in the baptism by the Jordan as the son of God, just like Solomon is the first person to be called son of God in the Hebrew Bible. And then you have the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom in chapter 4. That would be the Davidic kingdom. And so you have in Matthew 5, the beginning of the first of the five sermons, and the first and the last beatitude are blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. So what was the kingdom back then? It isn't just some kind of futuristic utopia. No, the first century Jew would know what any close and careful reader of Matthew will discover, that it's not just the Star of David. There are a series of characteristic features that you have a covenant establishing a kingdom with the son of David, who's called the son of God because he is anointed. He's the Christos. Solomon was called a Messiah, a Christ, but Christ is ultimately the fulfillment of that. Jerusalem takes center stage for the first time in Old Testament history, and you have the temple, not the palace. It really is the worship more than the politics. And so you have Jerusalem, you have the temple built upon a rock, the rock of foundation. So you find even when Jesus says, you are rock and upon this rock I will build my church, that lines up with the Old Testament temple built upon the Evanshetia, the foundation stone. All of this is laid out clearly and simply in the study notes of the study Bible. And so you also find that when you move from Moses to David, you move from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. At Sinai, the people of God were simply 12 tribes to the exclusion of the Gentiles. But at Zion, David establishes a kingdom and invites all the Gentiles to come up. Solomon builds the kingdom in the temple. And in the Solomonic temple, the largest precinct is what? The court of the Gentiles. Gentiles are excluded by Moses at Sinai. They're included and invited by David and Solomon to Zion. And so if we blur the lines, we miss the fact that the church is now consisting not only of Jesus, the son of David, the Blessed Virgin Mary as his queen mother, the 12 apostles who will sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel, but it is the kingdom that includes us as Gentiles to the ends of the world. And so Matthew concludes, go and make disciples of what? All 12 tribes? No, of all nations. Well, no wonder, because if you're reading it and you're tracking it, you begin to get a sense that it's not the gospel of the nation. It's not the gospel of the tribe of Abraham. It's not just the gospel of the household of Noah. The covenant family of God has been expanded. God is now fathering a universal kingdom. What do you call it? Catholic Church. Why? Because Catholicos is the word for universal. And it's not just on earth like David's empire. It's in heaven and on earth, not two churches, not two kingdoms. No, the church on earth and the kingdom of heaven are inseparably united by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Father sends the Son not only to form us as a family, but as the fulfillment of the Davidic kingdom. Once you begin to line these things up, You turn the page, page after page, Matthew's gospel will get your heart racing because you're going to be more grateful to be a beloved child of God. But you're also part of the royal family. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, the centerpiece is the Our Father, Thy Kingdom Come. It basically recapitulates each and every theme that is at the heart of the gospel of Matthew and the gospel of Christ.
Oh, absolutely beautiful. Man, my heart is pumping now. I'm so excited.
Mine too.
Dr. Scott Hahn was our special guest today on Beacon of Truth. Dr. Hahn, tell us how people again can access these materials on the Gospel of Matthew from the St. Paul Center.
Yeah, go to stpaulcenter.com. You'll see on the homepage Emmaus Academy. You can do the 30-day trial and sign up and watch them all and decide to stay, or you can do the annual membership. You'll get a free copy of the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible and access to literally hundreds of these lessons and talks.
All right. Well, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, my friends, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.